Hello, hello. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is July the 13th. It's a Monday. And today we're going to talk about, I think, one of the most challenging statements or series of statements that Jesus ever made. And let's face it, he's made a lot of them. So today we're really going to be stretched. And if we're going to consider ourselves to be followers of Christ or Christians or disciples, we got to be willing to listen to what he says. And you know, it's so easy to just pick and choose, pick the good stuff. You know, we've talked about this before, the let not your heart be troubled messages and be not afraid and I have loved you. I love you as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I mean, these are great messages. They're feel-good messages. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I love those messages. But today, as he does so many times, Jesus reminds us of the fact that oftentimes he's brutally honest with us. And to be a disciple, to be his follower, requires a lot more than just feeling good and doing, you know, what's easy. But it's very rewarding if we go along with it. So we will talk about that today. It's something from the gospel used in today's daily mass. It hit me and I said, you know, I got to talk about this. I wrote about it in my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, because it's so controversial. It's so difficult. It's so it's so startling. And Jesus would use this technique sometimes. He would really want to shake up his followers. And boy, he really does that. So we're going to talk about that on the show today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you're doing well with, man, this coronavirus thing is going crazy in many parts of the country. It's definitely a challenge for those of us who struggle with anxiety, and I certainly put myself in that category. Although, you know, I'll be honest, I'm doing pretty good. The Lord has really worked with me over the years, and that's why I love to share my thoughts on dealing with anxiety, breaking free from worry, because I've been letting the Lord help me with this for a long time. And I think I've learned a thing or two in the process. But for many people, this is a really challenging time because the numbers just keep going up. What I would just say is this: be cautious, do what you're supposed to do, do the right thing, live your life, you know, and recognize that God's still in control, even though it might not seem like it. He is still in control. He still loves you. And we're going to get through this somehow. You know, I have no predictions. I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know how this will play out. All I know is that we are living in challenging times, and it's not just the pandemic that's a threat. We've got the rioting going on. We've got the general hatred, the division in our country. Just the financial uncertainty. There's a lot of stuff going on, but ultimately, if you're looking for a sense of security, Jesus Christ, he is the answer. You may be suffering from the heat right now. I know. Now, I think I mentioned last week on the program my air conditioning saga. Maybe I didn't. You know, I'm trying to remember if I did or if I didn't, but nonetheless, it happened on Friday afternoon. The air conditioner died completely. And we guess what? We got it replaced today. The serviceman, he came out. He was able to schedule us in. He really squeezed us in and shuffled some things around, but he was able to get it done. We now have air conditioning in our house. Praise the Lord. I was telling my wife, we have become, I hope you don't find this insulting, but in many ways, we've all become wimps when it comes to living without air conditioning. I grew up without air conditioning. We had one window unit, I think, in a bedroom, and we'd all crowd in there on hot days. But for the most part, for several of the years of my youth, before we got central air conditioning, we lived without air conditioning. You just did it. But it's hard now, you know, now that we've been deprived of it. I struggled over the weekend, but I'm really grateful that we got it back. And I appreciate it more now that I have it back. And I might have taken it for granted before. You know, you say you appreciate certain things, and I pray every day for in gratitude. I thank God when I wake up in the morning for air conditioning, for heating, for hot and cold running water. But it's not till, and this is what I find, it's not till you're really deprived of these things. When I had to try to take a shower with no hot water heater, or when I tried to live for a few days without any air conditioning, that you really, really appreciate it. So if there's, you know, it's the same thing, I think, with this whole coronavirus business, being forced to, being unable to go to mass or to find, go to certain stores because they were closed for the first few months of the pandemic, really makes me appreciate my freedom. Now that I can go out somewhat freely, we're still in stage two, I think it is, here in New Jersey, which is not a bad thing. I can still come and go as I please. Most stores are open with some restrictions, but you really begin to appreciate what you have when it's been taken away from you. So in a sense, that's an example, he does it all the time, of how God can bring good out of bad things, out of unpleasant circumstances. He brings good out of it. One way he does that is just helping us to appreciate what we have. So anyway, that's where I stand today. Nice and cool in the house today as I'm doing this program. But it's really great to have you with me. And we're going to, again, talk about today's gospel for the remainder of the show. If you have any questions or you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. How about if we pray before we go any further? And I say anything else. You know, I want to make sure I get the Holy Spirit working, so I tell you what he wants me to say to you instead of giving you my own personal message. All right, please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, Abba, loving Father, you want to provide for all of our needs. Thank you for being always present to us. Father, thank you for creating us to your specifications. We are custom made according to your specifications. And sometimes we don't think about that. But, you know, Father, we do realize that you created us out of nothing, and therefore you put all the pieces together in a way that every one of us is unique in one or more ways. It's just incredible. So we were designed specifically by you, which means in your eyes we are perfect. Help us to remember that. Help us to recognize that even our weaknesses were part of the design package, because they often make us realize how much we need you, how important your grace is to us, how little we can do on our own. So, Father, we thank you for creating us in your image and likeness. Each of us, as I said, unique. Help us, Father, to really feel the love that you have for us, the unconditional love that you have for us. Help us to appreciate what it means to be loved by the creator of the universe. I mean, that is just so incredible. Father, we ask you to grant us whatever it is that we need this day, bad as well as good. If you need us to carry a cross and it can somehow help us or help others, please do it, as long as you give us the grace to carry it. And we trust that you'll do that, Father. We pray, Father, for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for relief for all those who are suffering from the virus, be it physical, spiritual, emotional, financial. We pray for a restoration of the economy, the ability for everyone around the world to function in a social manner, to be able to get back to church, to have our freedoms restored. Fully aware, Father, that we needed to change. So even though I ask for us to go back to the way it was, I want to make sure that you know that we understand that we had to make changes and we shouldn't remain the same. Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit on each of us today. Please give me the words that you have in mind for the show, and open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can hear and respond to your message. Father God, I ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I feel good now. I feel good now that I prayed, and I want to thank you for praying with me. By the way, if you're a music fan, do you realize, this just popped into my head, 35 years ago today, do you remember what happened? July the 13th. If you're a music fan like me, you remember that today was the day of the Live Aid concert. That was an incredible day. I remember, I shared this on Facebook earlier because I'm a big music fan. I remember waking up early. Now, it's funny, I lived in Philadelphia at the time, but I wouldn't have considered going down to the concert. It was way too crowded. You know, the way my mind works is, how am I ever going to find a bathroom? Because it's an issue. You know, it's just, I was way too practical, but I loved music. But I got up early, I bought extra videotapes, and at the time, VHS tapes were expensive. 1985, it wasn't that cheap to record on a VCR. I had a VCR, and I recorded the entire concert. It was on from morning till night, and I just thought it was fantastic. What a day. But I can't believe it's 35 years ago. 35 years ago today, the Live Aid concert. Boy, a lot of good memories. I'm still enjoying watching a lot of the clips from that concert. I've got so many favorites, I wouldn't even know where to begin with my favorite. But anyway, we're not here to talk about music. We are here to talk about the gospel and some really tough words from Jesus. Today, from today's Mass, the gospel is Matthew chapter 10, verses 34, all the way through chapter 11, verse 1. Okay, so I'm just going to read it, and then we'll talk about it. Jesus said to his apostles, now this message applies to us as well. Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. Right there. You know, right there when you hear that, you think, oh my gosh, what is this guy talking about? He's the Prince of Peace, isn't he? He's the guy who's always saying, let my peace be with you. My peace I give you. Right? What's he talking about? Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. But see, this is what Jesus would do. He spoke in a way that would really shake up his listeners because he wanted to get their attention. And you know what? It works. If you give it some time and you really try to understand what Jesus is saying, you listen to some of these messages and you think, oh man, what does he mean? Do not think I've come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. Oh man, let's continue on. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those of his household. Now, for somebody who's preaching peace and love and telling us to love even our enemy, what can he possibly mean here? Well, what Jesus is saying here is that when we follow him, we can expect there to be some conflict. That's just a natural byproduct of following Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we can expect, and when we share his message with those around us, there's going to be resistance from time to time. He is not going back on his commandment for us to love one another. And in particular, he's certainly not going to say that about family members. But he wants us to be really aware of the fact that if we truly believe and live out the gospel, it's twofold. It's not just believing it. It's not just saying, okay, I believe all these things. I'm a Christian. I believe this, that, and the rest of the list of teachings of the Catholic Church. I believe all these things. That's good. That's all I have to do. No, you got to believe and live it, which means sometimes you are going to, by following Christ, by obeying him, by living your Catholic faith, You're gonna ruffle a few feathers. You don't do it purposely. You do what you can to not antagonize people. You know, we got to be careful about that because sometimes we can get a little proud. Sometimes we can take matters into our own hands so much that we are really looking to prove that we're right and somebody else is wrong. That's not what he's saying. But Jesus is saying that following him and obeying him and living the Christian life can cause division. Because there are absolute right practices and absolute wrong practices. I mean, in the world in which we live, there's a lot of shades of gray. And yes, sometimes you really have to look at a situation because it's not crystal clear whether it's black or white. But there are certain non-negotiables in the teaching of the church, that unless you compromise, the teaching and back off and not fully live it out, you're going to make some enemies. But you do it, you should do it in a way that is loving. That's challenging sometimes. Let's talk a little more. Let's continue on with what Jesus said, because he explains it in a little more depth. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What he's saying there is, and please don't be upset by this, or don't let this disturb you. I mean, it should shake you up a little bit to make you want to take it seriously. But Jesus is saying, I'm number one. I've got to be number one in your life. Now, typically, you go to work, you do your job, you take care of family needs, you hang out with your family, you love them. If typically you're going to be loving Jesus first, primarily through the members of your family, by doing what you're supposed to be doing. But there are those circumstances, and I always use an example, this is one that always pops into my mind, where you can be putting a family member ahead of Jesus. Your spouse wakes up one Sunday morning and says, I don't really feel like going to church today. I really need to get away with you. Let's skip church and go out and have a picnic. If you would say yes to that, when you have the obligation to go to church and worship God, that would be a sin. That's an example of putting a family member before the Lord, taking a job which would require you to do something immoral, something that goes against the teaching of the church. That's putting money, satisfaction, prestige, any number of things ahead of God. You're essentially setting up an idol. That's what Jesus is talking about. When a relationship, some sort of a comfort, you know, like a guilty pleasure that might be sinful or that might cause you to not go to church on Sunday, when you put something like that and make a choice like that ahead of Jesus, that's what he's talking about here. He has to be first. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. You're going to get the crosses in life, whether you like them or not. But what you choose is willingly accept that, willingly accepting that cross. In other words, not grumbling about it. Saying, all right, Lord, even though this is painful, you're letting this happen. I trust you, Jesus. I unite my suffering with yours. Please teach me whatever you're trying to teach me through this. You know, that's how you carry your cross. But again, the crosses, many of them in our lives, sometimes we cause our own, but many of them are involuntary. You sail into a storm, just like the apostles did with Jesus, completely living in the will of God. He's the one who told them to get into the boat, and they go right into the storm. That happens sometimes. The Lord allows us to go through storms, because he wants to teach us something. Mainly he wants to teach us how to grow closer to him. But he has to come first, which means also sometimes you have to put the needs of others before your own needs. And when you do that, you're putting Jesus first. Because whatever you do for the least of your brothers and sisters, he said it, you do for him. So, you know, it's not just a matter of spending all your time in church. This is bigger than that. This is putting another person, another thing, another feeling, or yourself before him. That's what Jesus is speaking out against right here. And then so when you think about it, it makes sense. It's not as nasty as it first sounds. He is calling us to love everybody. He is calling us to bring peace wherever we go. But if we really live out our Christian life, we're bound to make somebody annoyed. Look at what Jesus did. I mean, man, he was criticized, and people were really angered by him because he had to say things that weren't popular. He goes on to say, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. See, he's talking to the apostles because they were commissioned to go out and share the good news. Right now, we are called as members of the church to go out and share Jesus with those around us. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward. When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their town. So, you know, this was, remember that at this point, in the Lord's ministry, the apostles, they were the inner circle. They were the early church. They were also the leaders, but they were also the members of the church. So in a similar way, we are all, now the church teaches that the bishops, the Pope and the bishops, are the successors of the apostles. They're the modern day apostles. We, as members of the church, we still have the responsibility to share in the priestly, the prophetic, and the kingly ministry of Christ. Kingly, I don't even know if that's a word, but I like that. It might be. I'm not really sure. But, you know, as a prophet, we're called to share the gospel. Prophet, the main role of a prophet was not necessarily to predict the future, even though that's part of what they did. The role of the prophet was to be the go-between, between God and the people. So we are, in a sense, to share where the Lord lets us share. And when we get baptized, this becomes part of our job description. We are called to share the good news of Jesus, the gospel, with those around us because we are prophets. And that's one of the things that we are supposed to do. So when we do that, by doing that, we will get some, we will eventually ruffle a few feathers. And again, that's okay. But we're not doing it purposely to cause problems. And I really can't say that enough because we really have to be careful about that. But just sometimes don't be offended or surprised if it happens. Even if somebody laughs at you, not necessarily gets mad at you, but maybe criticizes you for your faith, for believing when all hope appears to be gone. And you're going to run into that. How can you possibly believe When there appears to be no hope? Well, I believe because with God, all things are possible. You know, and even that, and then they might laugh at you. Ah, you're being silly. What, are you kidding me? They might laugh at you. But that's okay. Don't let it surprise you. So that's the message. Proclaiming the gospel is going to cause a little division at times. Because honestly, the people who need to hear it primarily are ones who are rejecting the message. You don't always want to be preaching to the choir, even though, boy, it's a whole lot easier. I love preaching to the choir. They're a great audience. And again, you don't have to do it all the time. You don't have to consistently be only reaching those who are disagreeing or having a problem with the good news. But it's a good idea to, you know, even if you're setting an example for family members, you might get criticized. But eventually, and I've seen this happen, it can bear great fruit. Just keep going. Just keep working for the Lord and let the Holy Spirit lead you. If you do that, you can't be wrong. Or you can't be led astray. And you never know It could take years. I have seen tremendous changes in people. I've seen changes in myself. I never thought that I would be publicly speaking about Jesus and the gospel, because I lived my life for me. And I just thank God that he gave me enough time to let me finally realize that, how selfish I was being. You know, that's why I really am determined to make the most out of every day that the Lord gives me. Anyway, that's the message for today. Just keep it in mind. See what you can do to share the good news with those around you. Hey, would you do me a favor? Check out my website, followingthetruth.com. Make sure you sign up for my daily email newsletter or devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I already put out some information about my new book that's coming out in early October, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. You're going to be hearing more about that, so make sure you get on my mailing list so you'll be able to find out the latest details. You can pre-order the book now. My last book, Give Up Worry for Lent, sold out for the past 2 years. So if you want to make sure you get a copy of Let Go of Anger and Stress, make sure you pre-order it now. You can do that from Ave Maria Press or from Amazon, whatever works for you. If you'd be so kind as to consider leaving a donation at my website, I would appreciate that also. These are tough times. I just spent a lot of money trying to get an air conditioner replaced, so anything you're able to send would be very much appreciated. Followingthetruth.com, just click on donate, and you can do it securely through PayPal. Hey, if you need anything, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I intend to be back here tomorrow, Tuesday, so if you're free, why don't you stop on by? I'd love to hang out with you. In the meantime, God bless you. Go out, share the good news. Go be a prophet. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Show them what it means to be a Christian. And don't be afraid. Yeah, you might somehow run into resistance, but that's okay. Jesus did too. So when that happens to you, know that you are being just like Jesus. Man, if you're going to imitate somebody, he's the guy to imitate. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. And I look forward to joining you next time on Following the Truth.